Let's now consider the history of water privatization in one of my favorite cities, Buenos Aires. Before privatization, not everyone had a good water connection. In Buenos Aires, that was about 70% of the population, and this is pre-1992. At that time, of course, the government was supplying water. Only 58% of the people in the city were connected to the sewerage system, and as you might expect, it was the poor who were least likely to be connected. There was also a general lack of investment in maintenance, and customer service wasn't very good. Very often, water service would be interrupted or water pressure was low. Within the water suppliers, there was typically overstaffing. There were high rates of what's called unaccounted for water, which means water that simply gets lost somewhere in the system and no one knows what happened to it. It's a measure of inefficiency in water systems. And there were low collection rates on bills and also a very low rate of metering. Only about 1% of all connections had any kind of meter, so it meant that at the margin, if people used more water or were careless with their use, they wouldn't actually have to pay anymore. On top of all that, there were notable environmental problems. So people who did not have sewerage connections very often would use cesspools or septic tanks to put wastewater, and this ended up contaminating groundwater sources. So what happened? In 1992, water supply in Buenos Aires was privatized. This was part of a broader set of water privatization reforms across the country, which was itself part of broader economic reforms in Argentina at that time. In Buenos Aires, there was a concession with a group of foreign firms, and with the city, there was a 30-year contract that water would be provided and a system would be maintained for 30 years. But of course, this wasn't laissez-faire or a competitive market. The price was still regulated, and the consortium was overseen by a governmental agency. What about the results? Well, there's one study about water privatization in Argentina more generally. It showed that child mortality fell 8% in the privatized areas and 26% in the poorest of those areas. Of course, that's good news. If you'd like to read up on this, here is the source. What were some of the other positive results? Well, overall, there were more water connections in the city. Within a span of 6 years, that went up from 70% to 83%. There was a lot more investment in the water supply system. There was less unaccounted for water, and in general, a better sense of what was going on. There was higher productivity in the water company. Response time to complaints dropped, and water pressure improved. Those were a lot of fairly positive results. Here's a good source on those numbers and also on the episode more generally. So you might think that water privatization made Buenos Aires a happier city with its water system, but unfortunately that wasn't exactly the way things worked out. There were some very real problems with the privatization effort. One was that the connection fee went up by 84%, which is really quite a considerable number. So the connection was for many families not affordable. For a typical poor family, for the first 2 years of their connection, it might have eaten up as much as 18% of their income. The sewerage connection fee went up by 46%. Of course, there were more connections. That's the good news. The bad news is that people were paying much more for those connections. You'll note that the prices for the already connected users went up much less. The already connected users tended to be the higher income families, so they did relatively well out of these reforms. The main burden of the reforms, in some regards, at least in terms of actual money as opposed to water quality, well, that main burden fell largely on the poor. For these reasons, people didn't end up as happy with the reforms as they expected. And keep in mind, this issue of the connection fee is a central problem to a lot of water issues. If you set the connection fee too low by law or regulation, that means the private water company doesn't actually have any incentive to connect poor households. If the connection fee is allowed to rise to a higher level, that of course means the poor households are paying more. It's very difficult to find, in this case, the right happy medium. It also can be debated whether under these new reforms there was an incentive for excess metering. Over the course of the 90s, the percentage of water connections which were metered went up from about 1%, which is very low, to about 12%. That still means, of course, 88% of the users can simply turn on the faucet and have more water and not pay anything for it. That doesn't appear very efficient, and it's not. But the problem is this. The cost of setting up a meter is about $200, and then over time, perhaps that meter needs to be maintained. So $200 for a poor family in Buenos Aires is very expensive, And one way or another, the water company is trying to get the poor family to pay for the costs of that meter. Arguably, the system ended up in the worst of all possible worlds, namely that poor families were paying a lot for expensive metering, and at the same time, a lot of other families still could use as much water as they wanted to and not have to pay more. So there was the negative distributional burden and also the inefficiency of not having very many meters. So what finally happened? Well, the contract was renegotiated in 1997, and then it was renegotiated again after Argentina's economic crisis in 2001. What happened in that economic crisis is that the value of the Argentine peso fell considerably, and the water company thought it had the right to raise prices to make up for that currency devaluation. The government didn't think it had that right, the company did. There was a lot of back and forth and accusations and lawsuits. And finally, the company responded to the lower real level of prices from its point of view by investing less and by decreasing the quality of various water services. In turn, the government got upset, users got upset. And finally, this so-called 30-year contract was abrogated altogether in 2006, and the system returned back to government control and ownership of the water supply for the city of Buenos Aires. People disagree about how good or bad a privatization this really was. It seems it did bring some very significant benefits to the system, but it had two flaws. They turned out to be fatal flaws. One was that a lot of the burden of the distribution fell on the city's poor, even though they had better water services in some significant ways. The second problem was that the company and the government never really managed to have sufficiently good relations that there was enough trust to proceed with the required investments in the system and to make the required pricing decisions in a way that was both politically and economically acceptable. In any case, this is a significant episode for understanding both the pros and cons of privatizing urban water supply in developing nations.